Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. I'm very pleased to say, joined by a colleague and friend of many years, Daniel Gallington. He has served with great distinction in a variety of senior positions in the United States government, both the legislative branch, including as the last bipartisan counsel of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, also in the Office of the Secretary of Defense and in the Justice Department in various capacities, including as a Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Territorial Security. He is today a Senior Policy and Program Advisor at the very highly regarded George C. Marshall Institute. Dan Gallington, welcome. It's good to have you with us as always. Happy New Year to you. I think this is our first visit of the new year.
It is, Frank, and you said a long acquaintance. It's 30-plus years.
But who's counting? I don't remember what I had for breakfast. Hey, Dan, listen, you had a story that we wanted particularly to call attention to because it seems of a piece with a lot of very serious, mischief doesn't do justice to it, malevolent behavior that's afoot. Talk about the fact that you were recently terminated as a contributor, a very valuable and I think important contributor to the online products of U.S. News and World Report.
Yeah, it's a sad story indeed, and it's more in sorrow than in anger in my case because, you know, I've written for them for 5 years, a couple of hundred pieces in a five-year period, and I've always found them to be reasonably objective about political criticism, whether it's on the left or the right. And, you know, it's owned by Mort Zuckerman, who writes his own column, and I agree with most of the stuff he writes. So this came as a surprise. But the piece that got me in trouble, quote unquote, with the editor down there was a piece I wrote motivated by President Obama and Secretary Kerry's comments in the wake of the Charlie Hebdo shootings in Paris. You may recall that they both criticized the Europeans for not doing a very good job of integrating or assimilating Muslim populations. And that really motivated me to write a piece about that because, as you know, I lived in London in the 60s and again in Germany in the 70s, and I spent 5 or 6 years in Switzerland in the 80s. So I'm quite familiar with the European struggle, political struggle, with the large immigration waves of Islamic populations that came. You might even remember the Enoch Powell debates in the 60s in London.
And the point is, there's nothing factually wrong with what you said any more than there was with what the president and John Kerry said at this point, which is these populations of immigrants have largely been ghettoized in these various nations. Some have called those ghettos no-go zones, whatever you want to call them. They're places where the population is certainly not being integrated into the larger society and, in fact, kind of incubating Islamism and threats to that society. So what was it they found so objectionable at U.S. News?
Well, it amazed me because what you say is absolutely right. And the lack of assimilation or integration, the point of my article, in European cultures at least, was, you know, is by the decision of the various Islamic immigrant groups. It hasn't been by virtue of the action by Germans or French or the British. It's been a choice. Likewise here, if you compare immigration waves that we've had to our country, you know, the 18th and 19th century immigration waves, immigration from Asia, immigration from Mexico and South America, you know, you have an effort on behalf of these immigrants to immigrate. They don't persist in cultural...
To assimilate, you mean?
Yeah, to assimilate. They don't persist in cultural things that are violative of U.S. law. Just that, you know, the French outlawed Islamic women from wearing the full covers, you know. A woman appealed that to the European Court of Human Rights, and the court agreed with the French and said, you know, yeah, you can do that. That's inconsistent with the way we our legal system here. The idea in the Islamic faith that women are attached to a man in some proprietary sense, you know, a wife, single girls, single women, young girls, is just inconsistent with the fundamental laws and mores of a Western democratic society. That's what I wrote about.
I would argue the Constitution as well. So yeah, you're terminated by these guys. Does this, in your judgment, Dan Gallington, now senior policy and program advisor at the George C. Marshall Institute, constitute an example of a kind of self-censorship that is taking place, arguably under pressure from these same Islamists who are trying to insinuate this sort of Sharia program? They call it Sharia blasphemy laws. Is that what you think is at work here?
Well, and there's no other way to look at it, Frank, because after I rewrote the article twice for my editor there at U.S. News, and they refused it, I sent it to Human Events. They published it the same day. And after it came out online, I got this email from my editor. Listen to this. I have reached the unfortunate conclusion that your views on the matter are well outside the spectrum that we are willing to publish in this section. As such, I'm terminating our professional relationship, quote unquote. I don't know if Mort Zuckerman, who owns the U.S. News, saw that comment, but I think, you know, you might feel that way, but to put it in black and white and send it to somebody reflects a real lack of professionalism and poor judgment.
Well, more to the point, it really raises a question as to what is within the bounds now at U.S.
Oh, yeah.
News and World Report, because, you know, I'm a big believer. We try to do it in each of these programs of speaking truth to power. And in this case, what you were saying seems entirely unobjectionable. But Dan, let me just switch, because we're gonna run out of time here. I think this is something we ought to take up with Mr. Zuckerman and see what can be done to remedy the situation, or at least clarify where he stands on this.
Yeah,
but let me
like
ask you about the Patriot Act, because you have served, as I mentioned, on the Intelligence Committee in the Senate. As you know, this was one of the important initiatives that came out of the post 9/11 environment, was a decision that, among other things, there would be a need to monitor the various electronic communications of hostile parties. And two important provisions, Section 215 and the sort of metadata provisions, are now up for renewal. And it's not clear that they will be, in fact, approved for renewal. What's at stake there, Dan? And what would you recommend we do as a polity with respect to these provisions?
Well, just a short burst of recent history is important when you ask a question like that. First of all, you might recall the Congress complaining bitterly when President Bush implemented the terrorist surveillance program on his own as commander-in-chief under his Article II powers. And they complained bitterly about it. And so President Bush basically said to them, well, okay, if you're upset about it, then why don't you amend the FISA statute and the Patriot Act and either and write your own rules about this program. And they did. And then Snowden outed the program, and Congress has started pulling on their collar ever since, both Democrats and Republicans, saying things like, well, you know, Nancy Pelosi said she didn't know anything about it at all. And other members of Congress on both parties said, well, we didn't realize that the program went this far. We didn't do this. We didn't do that. We didn't know about it. Well, you and I know, Frank, and I know personally, that these programs are briefed extensively to the intelligence committees, or at the minimum to what we call the Gang of Eight, which are the leaderships of both houses of Congress and the Democrat and Republican senior members of the intelligence community. So Congress, there's that political backfire there. They got caught.
Should they, in fact, renew these provisions of the Patriot Act? And if they don't, is it a serious problem?
I think the answer to it is yes, they should. Oversight is a good deal. Renew them with as much additional oversight that they feel comfortable with. Don't walk away from the fact that they've authorized these programs.
But keep the capabilities that we need for fighting this present war for the free world, as I call it. Dan, we have to let it go at that, I'm afraid. I appreciate so much both your service to our country in uniform in the United States Air Force, of course, in the various government agencies in which you worked and on the Hill, and, of course, what you're doing now at the George C. Marshall Institute. I hope you'll come back to us again very soon. Next up, Andy McCarthy joins us. We'll be talking with him about the state of play with the Muslim Brotherhood and the Obama administration straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.